Shut up. I'm listening to Zdeněk's English podcast.
You're listening to Zdeněk's English podcast. By far the greatest English podcast on earth for English learners since sliced bread. My name is Zdeněk and I'm your host.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Zdeněk's English podcast, and you're right, you have guessed it right. This is a public place because there is so much background noise, a lot of people around me, and fortunately I am not alone as well, because there is someone sitting right next to me, someone who happens to be the guest of this episode of Zdeněk's English podcast. Her name is Van. Hello, Van.
Hi. Hello to all the listeners.
Thank you for being on the podcast. Am I pronouncing your name correctly, Van?
Perfectly.
Okay. So, you know what my first question will be? How does it feel to have a name which is spelled exactly like a vehicle and also sounds very similar to that?
Okay, so I'm used to it. I have been in the professional world for 7 years, I think. And in these 7 years, there are, I think, less than five foreigners pronounced my name correctly. So I'm used to it. But I would really love it if people can pronounce it correctly with all their beautiful Vietnamese accent and call me Van.
Van.
So it's perfect.
Just like the schwa sound, Van. So it's not a van, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a van, okay? It's not. It's Van.
Yes, and it has a very deep meaning as well. That's why I really love it when people pronounce it perfectly.
Okay. Do you want to tell us what the deep meaning is?
I think that all of our Vietnamese listeners would know. Van, to understand it in itself, means cloud in Vietnamese. However, my full name will mean the broad path to success. It's a very masculine name.
I see. That's funny. I've got one student here in Vietnam and she calls herself Cloud as well.
Oh.
That's her kind of nickname, because all Vietnamese students have an English name. Her English name is Cloud. She chose that. So does it mean that her name is probably Van as well?
Most probably.
Okay. All right. Well, Van, welcome to the podcast. And why do you think I have invited you? Do you know the reason?
Well, you told me already that you let the cat out of the bag.
I did, didn't I? There's actually no cat, everyone. There's no bag. I don't have a bag, so that means I can't have a cat. It's just an idiomatic expression. You know it. I've used it on this podcast many times. I have told the secret, basically.
I think that you invited me because you wanted to explore how I learned to pronounce English the way that I do. I cannot tell if I speak in the American accent or the British accent or the Vietnamese accent, but I think you liked what you heard.
I like your pronunciation a lot. As an English teacher, I really find it rather impressive, especially considering that I've met a lot of Vietnamese people here with a varying degree of, let's say, level of pronunciation. Yeah, some people are hard to like I can barely understand them. But you, on the other hand, you are on the other side of the scale, for me at least.
I'm so flattered.
I think you know that already. You know that already, right? But that's exactly why you are an ideal guest for the podcast, because the listeners may learn something from you, or at least hear your story and find it inspiring. So, well, thank you for being here. And first of all, maybe we should tell our listeners how we two know each other. So, do you mind?
All right.
Shedding some light on that?
Okay, I will tell you a secret right now.
Hi, I'm Lucas from Slovakia, and I like the Achievers Chamber because I have the opportunity to meet talkative people who are about the same level.
For more information about the Achievers Chamber, go to teachersdenek.com.
I will tell you a secret right now.
Let another cat out of the bag.
We have two cats.
How many cats are in the bag?
Many. So we first met because I saw your post on Facebook looking for board game players. And I just moved here. I was dying to play board games.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were actually dying. You were dying to play board games, which doesn't mean you were dying, actually. You're very alive. I can see that.
Yeah.
Much alive.
I did. And I'm so happy to see other fellow board game players. And I jumped at the chance. I joined immediately.
Wonderful. And then we started playing board games together. We had several sessions, right?
Yeah, I loved every single one of them.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm flattered. And yeah, I think Asian people in general, especially from the sort of European or Western perspective, from the teaching experience, from my teaching experience and from the experience of my colleagues, the Asians, they sometimes struggle. They struggle with pronunciation. They struggle to be understood, to be intelligible. And yeah, so I wonder what you did differently that you mastered the English pronunciation so well.
Oh, I'm flattered again. But I wouldn't say that I mastered the pronunciation. I would say that I achieved the comprehensibility level that helped me a lot in my life. So what I did, I think, is all boiled down to persistence and determination. So let me tell you a little bit of background. When I started, I didn't speak a word of English. And I came from a very poor part of the north. And my family didn't have money for me to go to extra class, etc. So when my first class, which was taught in English in university, I was there. I was so frightened when the teacher started to speak in English.
Yep.
So I vomited all over my classmate who was sitting right next to me.
You didn't actually throw up.
I did. I threw up, and then two classmates has to carry me to the emergency room in the university. That was the most embarrassing experience in my life. But that is just to say I didn't know a word of
English.
Wait,
so what happened actually? I'm sorry, I don't understand. So I thought I know you told me this yesterday.
Yeah.
But I thought the way I understood it was as if it was like a metaphor for not speaking well. But did you actually throw up?
I did, and people made fun of me for, I think, 4 years during your university because of that one incident.
So you had an incident because of an English lesson, like because they were asking you to speak English.
Yes, I was thinking in my head that, oh no, I'm gonna die, I cannot understand a word. I don't know what this teacher is even talking about.
So it was like anxiety almost. So was it anxiety or was it like an embarrassing feeling or what happened there?
It was mostly embarrassment because everyone sitting around me was nodding profusely and it looks like everyone was understanding what she was saying except for me.
I see. So you were completely lost.
Yeah.
And your response, your bodily response was that you threw up. You got nauseous.
Yeah, and it was like that for the first semester. I really struggled.
Each time you threw up?
No, I didn't throw up.
Each lesson.
But I got terrible anxiety every single time the class started.
Okay, well, that's...
Well, okay.
That's a good start. Interesting. Okay, so how did we get from there to this point then?
Okay.
You are able to speak like that.
Okay, so let me go back to your question.
Yeah.
I went off script for a little bit. So what I did was that I just feel this need to really improve my English. And my family didn't have money for me to go to extra classes and something like that. So what I did was that I think that I need to improvise. I need to create opportunities for me to improve my pronunciation. Yep. So what I did first was to really dive into the Pronunciation in Use book. I think this is a very well-known book in universities.
English Pronunciation in Use.
Yes.
So that's like you've got like a series of books which are called In Use. The most famous one is probably English Grammar in Use, written by Raymond Murphy, But then you've got others like English vocabulary in use, English collocations in use, and then there's one called English pronunciation in use. I haven't actually used it before, but I'm aware of it.
Yes, and I have been actively promoting the English pronunciation in use book for years now, for almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
And what I did with that book is that I, of course, that book has the CDs. So I will have the book as a script, and then I have the CDs.
CDs?
Yes.
Does anybody use CDs now?
Back in my day.
Well, CDs, they even preceded DVDs, right? That's a way far.
So at the time, I used the book as a script, and I used the CD, and I would listen to the CD whenever, entire day. Whatever I was doing at the time, I would listen to the CD at the same time when I was on the bus, when I was cleaning my house, when I was taking a bath. Yep. I was listening to the CD, and I would repeat whatever the CD would say. So, yep. For example, I would say...
a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, I was repeating literally every single word. And okay. I do it until I learned the script by heart.
So how did you know at that point that you were saying it right though? How did you know that your pronunciation was correct? Was there anyone who was telling you that you were doing it right? That's my point, because most people need some sort of feedback. Okay. How did you know you were getting it right?
Okay, that's when the second improvisation came in the picture. So I knew that I didn't have money to join an extra class, to speak to native teachers. So what I did was to join an online dating website. I feel very embarrassed.
Why?
I feel very embarrassed now. Wait. To talk about it.
How old were you? So you were like 20, 21?
No, I was 18.
Ah.
I was 18, approaching 19. So what I did was that I created a profile. I wrote in that profile that I was poor. I didn't have money for extra class. I was looking for someone to speak with me in English or write.
It's on a dating profile.
Yes.
Well, that means the people expected to date you as well, right? And you were ready to do that as well? Or?
Not at all.
So it was a lie.
It was not a lie. It was the truth that I said that I was a student. I was just looking for someone who can speak with me in English, who can write to me in English. And you will be surprised how many kind-hearted people I found on that website. I don't know what is this like now, but at the time, I found many kind people on that website that was willing to practice with me, that was willing to write to me in English and correct my mistakes.
That's amazing.
They are really wonderful teachers.
That's amazing. So none of these people wanted to date you or anything like that? They didn't expect you to like be their girlfriend or...
Not at all, but there are...
That's so weird. This is a dating... You said it's a dating app. Come on.
I know. Dating apps get a very bad rap these days. But on this website, there are a few people who wanted to adopt me. But to date me, no.
A few people that wanted to adopt you. But no one wanted to date you.
Absolutely not.
That's a bit strange.
I don't think so. It's just that I think I was lucky to find all of these kind-hearted people that was so willing to help me and wanted nothing back.
I feel like this doesn't normally happen. I don't know. It just feels a bit strange. Like on a dating... Okay, if it's like an app where you can choose if you're looking for friends, that's a different story. But the dating site, it should be about dating, right?
Yes.
So...
But... At the beginning, I was having the same fear, but then out of desperation, that's what I did. But it worked out perfectly for me.
So you never dated anyone, but you always just practice your English.
That was correct.
It's crazy. Okay, so then what? So you learned English to a reasonable degree. Let's say you were upper intermediate or something.
Yeah.
And then.
And then.
How did you get from upper intermediate to C2 level?
I put myself out there, and by putting myself out there, I was volunteering to be the MC in many events in my university where the MC needed to speak English. I earned my money by being a tour guide in Hanoi, where I came from. And I taught English as well, because what I believe is that you learn the best when you teach another person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you sort of took the initiative, yeah? And you knew that you had to become that leader. You weren't afraid to go one step further.
I think that at the time I was thinking a lot of worse could happen. So if I was a terrible MC, the worst thing that could happen to me is that that department will not hire me again, because I was MCing at my university at the time. So the worst is nothing. As you really have, I had nothing to lose.
This house, this is the place where you got to watch your family grow up. The crayon scribbles, the unexpected mishaps, the milestones like graduation and marriage. This place was a stage for it all. You may one day leave this house behind, but the memories you made here will stay with you for a lifetime. Sinvar Roofing and Solar is committed to safeguarding your home, because a house is more than shelter. Visit morethanshelter.com to watch a short film.
So I think the key is, I don't know, I think for me it was persistence and determination.
Yeah, I see, like, you were really driven, and you know, you probably still are really motivated. And I think that first incident that you described that happened to you at university, I think it all comes back to that. It seems to me like that's what we are talking about here. And then sometimes people that achieve the greatest things have to go through something really hard, yeah? And then as a result of that, they are more motivated and they want to keep going and to prove to everyone, prove everybody wrong, prove to everyone that they have what it takes. Whereas someone who is just gifted or is born with a silver spoon in their mouth or something like that, those people, they just have it too easy, you know what I mean? And as a result, they don't try as hard compared to someone like you. And the people like that achieve great things. Would you say it's accurate?
I agree. And I think that when you have less, you have to improvise a lot. And it will be good in the long term.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, okay, so so when we talk about English pronunciation, obviously there are so many different things to explore, right? Individual sounds, word stress, sentence stress, intonation, rhythm, you name it, plenty of things. So which aspect for you specifically, or you can also talk about Vietnamese people in general, which of these aspects is the toughest one, or was the toughest one for you to master?
Okay, so from my experience learning English, and also from my experience as a part-time teacher, I found that the biggest challenge that Vietnamese people normally face is the confidence to really try new pronunciation, to try a new sound, because there are many different sounds that are different from English compared to Vietnamese. So the key is that if you dare to try the new sound, even though you know that the first time will not be correct, I think that is the key. Because if you try, other people will give feedback, and from that feedback you can improve. But if you don't try and you stick to your old way, it is very difficult to improve.
So is it something to do with the Vietnam, the sort of Asian mindset issue? We call it the losing face, yeah? So it's a culture of face, right?
I think you mentioned a very important concept in our culture.
So basically you can get very embarrassed, you don't want to... This is a bit strange to me to understand, but... Because on the one hand, I see people singing karaoke all the time. But on the other hand, like in the classroom, you can see some people who would rather just not say anything, just to sort of save their face, you know?
Yes, and it will be very detrimental to the learning journey. So I think embarrassment is better than not improving, in my personal opinion. So just try. What worse can happen? You will embarrass yourself for one incident, and you will get better the next one.
Even the way you think about it, so you don't have to think about it as if it's embarrassment. It's just one step on the journey of learning a language. So for me, I should be learning Vietnamese here. You know my story. I'm just a bit lazy. Let's put it that way. But it's not that I'm embarrassed to speak. I can use like 10 Vietnamese phrases, and I use them all the time whenever I have the opportunity. And I find it cute when people laugh at me. I like it.
Yeah.
I like to be embarrassed because I feel like it puts smiles on people's face, you know, and
yes.
And they don't mean it in a nasty way. They don't want to be mean to me. They
yes.
actually appreciate that I can say things in Vietnamese, and it makes them laugh because I'm saying it in a funny way. But it's not like they are laughing at me, and I don't feel embarrassed. But it's probably different, like Vietnamese people in front of Vietnamese people. It's probably different, right?
Well. The way that you speak Vietnamese is very endearing as well, and I think that is the feeling that people get even in other countries. In France, if you try to speak French, even though badly, people will find it very endearing that you are making an effort to speak up language. And I think that is the same thing. Maybe we perceive it as embarrassment, but other people around it, when we try to speak English the correct way, people will find it endearing, even if your first attempt will not be successful.
Especially if you're comfortable with yourself, like that's the kind of mindset you need to adopt, just to be okay with who you are and not to take yourself too seriously, and just understand it as if it's a part of your learning journey and something you have to go through and something that's unavoidable and something that's bound to get. That only is bound to get better, rather than seeing it as an embarrassing failure or something.
Absolutely, yes.
You know?
And may I share something from the HR's perspective?
Because you work in HR, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for the background, I'm working I'm working in the HR department in an international shipping company.
What do you ship?
Containers.
it's not nothing illegal. You never know, you know.
But from the HR's perspective, I would like to tell you that even though many people try to deny the importance of pronunciations and deny the importance of speaking English correctly, mm-hmm. Because of some political correct reasons.
Yeah.
But from the HR perspective, I can tell you the sad news is that it is very important.
Of course.
It will impact how people perceive your intellect.
Yeah.
And that is proved by psychologies and research that has been conducted recently.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you are mastering the pronunciation is not only for speaking right, but it will also vastly impact how you will progress in your career if you intend to work for an international company.
Absolutely. So someone who is really experienced in hiring people like yourself, for example, if you work in HR, I assume you recruit people, right? So this is one of the things you look at. Right? It creates maybe not the first thing, not the most important thing, but it contributes to the overall sort of perception of that person, just like the way they dress, right? Or I don't know if you do Zoom interviews, but I suppose it's a bit different there, but you know what I mean. It's just something that can always be worked on, something that people should strive to improve, and it matters because for me as an English teacher, it should not be about the accent, but it should be about how intelligible you are.
Yes.
If people find it easy to understand you or not, the fact that you have some sounds that are a little bit different, or your vowel sounds are slightly shifted to the right or to the left, doesn't make so much difference. But as long as they know that you are saying cat and not cap, it was just an example. Nothing better came to mind, so yeah.
But I absolutely agree with you. From the professional world, it is exactly like that. So although the correct pronunciation is not about your accent. You do not need to sound American. You do not need to sound British.
Yeah.
But what you need is that people understand what you say and people understand what the message that you sent. Because the message is not in the words, but also in how you are saying it, in intonations, in how you place the stress, in the sentence, in the words. So all of these elements will really help you progress in your career and help to improve the perceptions of other people about you.
Okay, so what ways do we have to do that? So you basically did a lot of drilling. So I think you took the hard way almost, I would say. Right? It's not the most natural approach. Yeah, it was the hard way,
yes.
In my opinion, because this is not something everyone is capable of. Certainly not my students, certainly not myself. I cannot imagine just picking up a book and just drilling words. I don't think this is the way most people do it, but you did it. So like there are different ways you can get there, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have to drill. For example, I find it a bit like repetitive if you do it like this. It can get a bit dull. But for you, it's the motivation. You were so driven that you did that. And I know similar stories. You're not the only one. I'm just saying, the point is, in my opinion, and you can disagree with me, but the point is, you have to find a way. As you said, I like the word you use, to improvise, yeah? So if one thing doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean that you should give up. There are other ways you could try. But just, you should keep searching for those ways. You should keep... You know, never be happy with how much you know and how you sound. Like, you can always sound a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yep. Agree.
Anyway, I'm not sure how profound this is because I've just finished my second beer, so so did you. But to be honest, you are used to it, as you told me before we started drinking, so...
Yeah.
I don't want to make you look like an alcoholic now, but I just did.
Well, I'm good up to 2 beers.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So what could Vietnamese people do differently then? So the way you see it, because obviously you've been living in Vietnam your entire life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know a lot of Vietnamese people, you know a lot of Vietnamese learners of English. And so what do you think they could do differently? What's the main sort of stumbling block or the main obstacle?
Dare to speak up, everyone. Dare to speak up. So even when you think that you all sound silly, when you pronounce the word, just pronounce it. So just say, just try it and accept... Well, invite the comments from and advice for other people.
So it does come down to confidence, as you said, and this face culture. But it can't be just that. So why do Vietnamese people have the kind of problems with pronunciation they do in your opinion? So it cannot be just about that. I don't believe it's just that.
I think that because of the way that we sound is just very different. Even the intonation is different. So yeah. When we speak Vietnamese, we do
say
not...
Say something in Vietnamese. Say hello, welcome to the next English podcast. How are you doing?
Can I say something else?
Yeah. You can, yeah. But you have to translate it later.
Can I not translate it later?
I can try to use AI to decipher it. But go on then.
Okay. So I will say something in Vietnamese.
Go on then.
Bia hôm nay rất ngon.
That was short.
So what I meant is that the intonation in Vietnamese is different compared to English.
Yeah.
So in English, for example, if you want to indicate that you are posing a question, your intonation will change. And when you are having...
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. The affirmation, it will change. But in Vietnamese, the sound will... the intonations will remain the same for every word,
mostly. That's right. But you have intonation within words.
Yes.
So there's a word whose intonation goes up, and there's a word whose intonation goes down. There's a word whose intonation sounds like a question intonation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether this word is used in a question or in a statement. It still is going to sound like a question. So like something like for all? No, that's wrong, right? For all is... Which word has a question intonation?
Well, you're absolutely correct.
No.
It's for.
Is it?
Yeah.
For?
Yeah, for. It is.
Okay, so that's the soup, right? The traditional soup.
But what I mean is that the intonation will remain the same in Vietnamese sentence.
Yeah.
So it will be sakato. It's like ta 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 ta. But in English, the intonation will change.
Go up and down. Yeah.
Yes. And many, I see that many people, they are not confident enough to change the intonation to speak the correct way. But my advice is, just try. Just speak with the correct intonation. It really help with the weight of the sentence that you are trying to convey, the message that
you are trying to convey. It adds to the meaning.
Yeah.
And it just makes it so much easier to understand, to follow what you're saying. And that's ultimately what it's about, right? You have to express yourself, and you're talking to someone, and that person has to decipher what you're saying. And
yes.
Unfortunately, pronunciation often will prevent or will lead to a communication breakdown.
Yeah. So intonation is important. It needs practice, and just dare to speak up. That is the advice. And also another element I think that is difficult for us as Vietnamese is the long vowel and the short vowel. I do not know the scientific word for it. For example, I and then E.
Yeah.
So it's very different, but many people, they are not confident enough to really make the distinction when they speak. So, yeah.
Yeah, the vowels are completely different. You have some interesting vowels like U, right? U.
Yeah.
U. What's, is that correct?
U.
U.
U or U.
So those are two different vowels.
Yeah, those are two different vowels. I can understand why you're not speaking Vietnamese now.
Oh, I just haven't made enough effort, that's why. Lazy. There's only one explanation, lazy bones. It may change one day, because I'm at the back of my mind, I'm sort of not happy about it, so I think I may do something about it. As long as I decide to stay here longer, so...
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not...
Well, but you do not have the plan to stay here permanently. You
can
You just go along the ride, because with English, you still can live very comfortably in Vietnam.
Exactly, English. That's part of the problem. Like once you speak English, it feels like it's a superpower, and it's almost like the universal language, right? It's the lingua franca. You kind of get by anywhere you go. It would be nice to speak Vietnamese, because it would allow me to connect with more people here, and to communicate more easily. But I can see how much effort is behind it. It's just laziness. It's nothing else. It's laziness. And the fact that I know, as an English language teacher, I'm aware how difficult it is to get there, get where I am right now, how long it has taken me as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what's sort of preventing me from wanting to repeat it.
And I think I don't know, I think I am the lucky case, but when I look at your arduous journey of 11 years, I really admire
doing the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I would always end up doing something, because I've got this like creative sort of, my part of my personality needs to do something creative, and I would do something different. Like, my listeners know that I have been developing a board game as well, stuff like that. So I would end up doing something different, but it's nice. It was a good decision to do something useful for my English language ability, right? So it kind of made sense. I started recording the podcast after I graduated from university. So first I became a teacher, and then I was like, okay, let me do something about my English, and let me have my own platform, my own audience. It's kind of nice. It's just, I enjoy it. And this was almost like me improving my pronunciation was almost like a byproduct of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a side effect.
Yeah, it's a byproduct of putting yourself out there.
That's right. Because I would have done it either way, I think, in a different manner, or different place, different kind of project. I would have done it anyway, putting myself out there. That's the kind of person I am. But it was smart to do it because I was a teacher, so it makes sense, right? I want to be a good teacher. I want to be a good pronunciation model for my students, especially as a non-native teacher, mm-hmm. you know, because you can be a non-native teacher and have awful pronunciation. You know, it can be like that as well. And it can still do a decent job, but, you know, I want to do more if I can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, this was supposed to be about you, but I suppose this is what happens when you drink a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. And
two beers only.
Yeah, two beers is enough. Like I told you, we should have started after the first beer. Might have said more interesting things, but fortunately, you saved it. Thank you very much for being on the podcast and telling us about your journey and giving us all these tips, sharing your pronunciation secrets. And yeah, very personal story.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And I hope that if you are listening to this podcast, you will succeed in your learning journey with the English language and you will succeed in your professional life. All the best.
Nice one. Thank you very much. And if you were listening to this on my YouTube channel, please don't forget to give us a like as well. Thank you very much, Van. And I hope this is not the last time I hear you on the podcast.
Well, if you invite me, I will be back.
Lovely. I think I will. I think I will. All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Cheers.
Thanks a lot for listening. For more information, visit my new website, teachersdenek.com, where you can find out about my speaking group for high-level English learners called the Achievers Chamber and download my free course, Unlocking Your English Potential, 8 Secrets to Fluency. That's teachersdenek.com.